Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Hey, it's great to be continuing through our series with you this morning, More of God. My name's Isaac. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's a real privilege to be sharing with you. And hey, whether we already know each other or this is our first time connecting this morning, it probably wouldn't be a surprise to you if I said that I wasn't the strongest or toughest kid growing up, right? Like, we haven't maybe had a conversation, but like you can see that that's probably been the case throughout my life, right? Like, whatever chemicals guys have in their body that goes towards muscle building, for me, was always just rerouted to my metabolism. And so I was always hungry and never stronger. It didn't seem to matter what I did. And I was sort of hoping that that would change as I got older. And I thought maybe now that my hairline is packing up and heading north, this would be the moment. But I'm still just as hungry, and there's not a whole lot to work with in the muscle building department. It just seems to be my lot in life. And so growing up, if I was ever going to stand up for someone, it usually meant I was going to lose a fight, right? That's how that was going to go. I remember when I was about 7 years old, there was a group of kids playing soccer on the school field, and myself and some other kids, we were going to come and join in, and one kid from my class said, "No, you guys, you can't play." And so when we would try to come on the field, he would just shove people down. And so I thought this was uncalled for, and so I confronted him, right? And I said, "This is not your field. You can't tell us that we can't play. It's everybody's field. We can play." And so I lost the fight, as much as a seven-year-old can fight. But the other kids got to come and play because a teacher came and removed me and that boy off the field, and we lost the rest of our lunchtime privileges. So worked out in the end. And unfortunately, that was not the last time that that was going to happen to me, including further stories where a fire extinguisher was thrown through a window, not by me, but somebody else. But that's a story for another time. I don't think we need to spend the whole morning just hearing all the stories of how I lost fights throughout my childhood. But here's the strange thing, that most of the time I had no problem sticking up for others, even if that meant I was going to lose. But I remember an occasion when I was about 8, and I was making my way to my classroom that morning, ready to hang up my bag in the cloak bay. And as I was heading towards my class, a group of my friends was making fun of and shouting at another kid. And so I walked up and I asked, "Hey, what's going on?" And they said, "Oh, he's a Christian." And that's what they were making fun of him for. And I don't think I said anything in response. I sort of just turned away and just went to the cloak bay and hung up my bag and continued with my day. And I remember feeling so confused and conflicted with what I did in that moment. You know, why I walked away and I said nothing. You know, I had already put myself in other risky situations before to stick up for others, and here was another Christian, someone like me who needed support, and I wasn't willing to do anything, and I walked away from that moment. And it was that day that I realized that my faith wasn't going to be something that I was willing to be open about or be vocal about. And that mindset continued for me throughout the rest of my school career. And unfortunately, there even ended up being a further instance where I joined in and making fun of some other Christian students, with the people around me having no idea that I was supposedly one myself. And you know, I'm really gutted about that. You know, it was many years ago, but I'm just, you know, gutted that that's the choice that I made, and those are the decisions that I made in the path that I took through those early years about my faith. And it's kind of ironic, right, that now it's my job to share the good news of Jesus, teach God's word, and encourage other people to do the same. And, you know, through my high school years, I refused to go to youth group, and then I ended up in youth ministry for about 6 years. And, you know, I imagine there would still be people in my high school today. Well, they're not there now, hopefully. Hopefully they graduated. But people that I went to high school with that would be surprised that I ended up where I've ended up. But, you know, faith is a journey, and who we were or who we are isn't who we have to be. Because of the transformative power of the good news of Jesus, we don't have to stay stuck where we are. You know, I look back on those moments with regret. I'm gutted that they went the way that they did, but I also see how God has shaped me since then. You know, the same guy who was too scared to talk about his faith or stand up for his faith is now standing here, right, talking about it openly and having regular conversations about it. And it's not because I suddenly got braver, but because Jesus changed me, right? He did work in me. And, you know, that's not just my story. Maybe you've got one similar, but it's also one that's found throughout the Bible, especially in the life of Peter. You see, when Jesus started his ministry, going about healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and sharing that the good news of Jesus had come, that of God, that his kingdom had come, he started to call some people to follow him. And Peter was one of the first people that Jesus said, "Come and follow me." You see, Peter and his brother Andrew, they were fishermen. And after a night of being out on the water and catching absolutely nothing, Jesus does a miracle where their nets are so filled with fish that they can barely pull them back into the boat. And after that moment, Peter and Andrew, they drop everything to follow Jesus. And generally from that point onward, out of the group that followed Jesus, Peter is often the first to speak up and the first to act. He shows a real eagerness to live out and prove his faith. You know, when Jesus asks a question, Peter's often the first to answer. When Jesus makes a confusing statement, Peter is often the first to ask what Jesus means. And when Jesus walks on water, it's Peter who steps out of the boat to join him. However, though we see this eagerness in Peter, he often struggles with the follow-through. Though he's often the first to speak, he's also the one that Jesus has to rebuke or correct. And though he steps out onto the water, he panics and he begins to sink. Peter believes Jesus is who he says he is, that he is the Son of God. But what it means to live out that belief is a lot more difficult for Peter. And as Jesus arrives at the moment that will lead to his death, we read this in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 31, this interaction between Jesus and Peter. And this is what it says starting in verse 31. It says, "Simon, Simon," which was Peter's name before Jesus changed it to Peter. He said, "Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you." But Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." And that's exactly what happens. Jesus is arrested, his followers scatter, except Peter discreetly follows the party that arrests Jesus from a distance. But while Jesus is being trialed, some people around recognize Peter. And so we're told this in verse 54 onward of that same chapter. It says, "So they arrested him," being Jesus, "and led him to the high priest's home. And Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, 'This man was one of Jesus' followers.' But Peter denied it. 'Woman,' he said, 'I don't even know him.' After a while, someone else looked at him and said, 'You must be one of them.' 'No, man, I'm not,' Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, 'This must be one of them, because he is a Galilean too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I don't even know what you're talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. 'Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me.' And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly." I don't know how you feel when you read that story. Maybe you look at that and you think, man, Peter is weak. You know, I don't think I would have done that. I would have stuck up for what I believe and who I believe in. But, you know, there's no judgment from me in this story because I've been there. You know, and I've said similar things to what Peter said, and I've done what Peter did, and I felt the deep regret that Peter felt. The man who not too long ago declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I would go to prison with you, and I would die for you," has now said, "I don't even know this guy. I don't know him. I have nothing to do with him. The account of the story in the book of Matthew even says that Peter swore an oath that he didn't know Jesus. And so nobody needed to tell Peter how disappointing this was, right? Peter knew it. He knew it. He felt it. This was an all-time low for Peter. And maybe right now you're thinking of your own denial moment like Peter's. Maybe you said or did something in the past that really hurt someone, something that, you know, a follower of Jesus should never say or do. And that's still hanging over your head because, you know, and you've never really moved forward because how could you? How could you move on from this, right? What you did is surely unforgivable. Surely it's unredeemable. Maybe nobody at your workplace knows that you're a follower of Jesus. And at this point, how could you let them know? You've said and done things that aren't Christ-like. And you've only been able to do that because your coworkers don't know that you follow Jesus. And so at this point, you'd look like such a hypocrite if you told them. Maybe for years and years, you've said, nah, you know, Jesus, he's not for me. I'm not interested, thanks. I don't really need him. I'm all good on my own. But deep down, you are sort of interested now. But think of all the confident and proud statements you've made about how you don't need him. How would you walk that back? It's far too late, right? You'd look foolish if you were to accept him now. Maybe like me, you've had an opportunity to say something when you should have, and you didn't. And so, you know, how much of a follower of Jesus am I really? Am I just kidding myself? Do I really get this? Am I really a follower of him? Or maybe it's something else. And those are pretty tough places to find yourself in, especially if that was where your story had to end. You know, you're in too deep. The damage is done. There's no going back. There's no going forward. This is just where I have to make my bed, whether I want to or not. But it's not where your story has to end. That's not how it has to be. It'd be such a bummer if this was the end of Peter's story, right? But it wasn't. And it doesn't have to be the end of yours. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus and Peter, they have a subtle conversation about his denial in John chapter 21. This is what it says. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked this question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Peter knows what Jesus is referring to when Jesus says this. He understands why Jesus asks him this three times, just like Peter denied him three times. And Peter remembers that a while back, Jesus said that he would build his church on the kind of faith that Peter had. And so Jesus is simply calling Peter back to that calling that has been placed on his life. Essentially, Jesus is saying, what is done is done. You say you love me, Peter. Let's continue to build my church like I said we would do together. I believe that's the message that's underlying Jesus' questions to Peter. But you see, the lesson here isn't that Peter made a mistake and just needs to be better next time, right? That Jesus just has a word with him and now he just needs to improve himself. Now, there's another really key element to Peter's journey. It's so much more than lessons learned and an opportunity for self-improvement. Because you see, on the day of Pentecost, the day when the followers of Jesus are first all filled with the Holy Spirit, we see major transformation in the life of Peter. On that day, on the day of Pentecost, Peter gets up and he preaches to a crowd of thousands of people and he tells them the good news of Jesus, that he died and rose again for the forgiveness of all people. And then after that story, we read story after story of Peter boldly proclaiming Jesus. Like in Acts chapter 4, Peter heals a crippled man in the name of Jesus. And the religious leaders who don't believe Jesus was the Son of God bring Peter in to question him about what he's done. And it's in verse 5 of chapter 4 of Acts. It says this. It says, "The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples, being Peter and John, and they demanded, 'By what power or in whose name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." Can you guys believe this? This is Peter. This is Peter who's saying this, the guy who denied Jesus just a few weeks, maybe months ago, and he's now boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus to the very men who put Jesus to death. Who is this guy? What has happened to him? I'll tell you what happened. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, that thing that you did that feels unredeemable, the way that you've behaved at work that feels hypocritical, the denial of Jesus you've boldly proclaimed, or the times that you've kept silent when you should have been brave, you're right. Those things might be too big of an obstacle to overcome on your own. But that's not the expectation. That's not what is being asked of you. It was the transformative power of the Holy Spirit that enabled Peter to make this bold shift and proclaim the name of Jesus. You may not feel like you can forgive yourself, but the Holy Spirit does and can help you take steps forward that you could never take on your own. You may feel like a hypocrite after all you've said and done, but what others might see is transformation. You used to be like this, but now you're like that. Something has changed in you. You may think you'll look like a fool to accept Christ after all this time of denial, but in reality, I believe you'll feel a sense of peace and love and acceptance like you've never felt before. You may have shied away from boldly proclaiming your faith in the past, but just like Peter, you can be totally unashamed of what you believe and know to be true. And the key to that becoming a reality for you isn't you. It's the Holy Spirit. So often we put pressure on ourselves. We think, you know, I need to try harder. I need to be more brave. I need to stop messing up and just get my act together. But if transformation were about effort alone, then Peter would have figured this out long before Pentecost. You know, he had all the right intentions. He was passionate. He was willing. He even made bold declarations. And yet when push came to shove, he still fell short. And that's because real transformation isn't about mustering up more courage or working harder or perfecting yourself. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you. If you're waiting until you're strong enough to step into what God is calling you to, you'll be waiting forever. If you're trying to prove yourself worthy of being used by God, you'll wear yourself out. If you're relying on your own ability to stay faithful, at some point you'll fall short. But the good news is you were never meant to do this in your own strength. The pressure isn't on you. The power isn't in you. The power is the Holy Spirit. You don't have to transform yourself. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to force yourself to change. You just have to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him do the work. Now, if you're already a follower of Jesus, you might say, "But don't I already have the Holy Spirit? And this is the situation that I'm in. This is how I'm feeling. I believe that Jesus died for me, so I should have the thing you're saying I need, but I'm still afraid. I still feel so guilty." So all this talk of the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, where is it? Where is that power? And so for me, that brings to mind passages like Philippians 2, where Paul tells us this, that, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the result of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. You see, here Paul indicates that a change has taken place. You have been saved. And yet at the same time, he says, God is working in you, giving you what you need. And so a change has taken place, and yet continual change is still happening. You have been transformed, and yet you are being transformed. And we see similar language in places like Philippians 3, 1 Corinthians 1, and 2 Corinthians 3. That yes, you are a follower of Jesus. He saved you and changed you, and yet there is still so much more that he wants to do. And something that I really love about Peter's story in the Bible is that, you know, he goes from a guy who denies Jesus to someone who boldly shares the good news. But then we have another story later on in the New Testament where Peter is spending time with Jewish Christians and ignoring and avoiding Christians that don't have a Jewish background. And Paul calls Peter out for this behavior. It's in Galatians chapter 2 if you want to read it sometime. And so Peter's journey isn't this black and white night and day. He was afraid and then he wasn't. He was lost and then he had it all figured out. Because even after he's filled with the Holy Spirit, there is still more for him to grow in, still ways in which he needs further transformation, further help from the Holy Spirit. And the same is true for us. You know, when I was 8, I believed in Jesus, but I was afraid. I was scared. And you may believe in Jesus, but have behaved poorly in your workplace. You may believe in Jesus, but feel like you can't move forward from the past. You may believe in Jesus and be keeping that to yourself. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you miss something or that you don't have the Holy Spirit. You just have to simply continue to surrender to Him. Continue to let Him transform you. You have been transformed, but you are being transformed. I believe you died for me, Jesus, but I still feel afraid. And so I surrender that fear to you, Holy Spirit, and I ask for you to transform me. I believe in you, Jesus, and I believe you died for me, but I still feel like a hypocrite. And so I surrender my hypocrisy to you, and I ask for you, Holy Spirit, to transform me. I believe you died for me, Jesus, but I still feel so guilty. And so I surrender my guilt to you, and I ask for you to transform me. We have been transformed, but we are being transformed. And as followers of Jesus, we have to continually surrender to Him time and time again. This is sort of how I see it. About a month ago, I had a meeting with all of our Connect Group leaders to kick off the year together. And in the afternoon leading to that meeting, my plan was that I would get the room all set up, and then I would go over the content one last time to make sure I was prepared to lead the night. But in that afternoon, a couple of other things came up that were unexpected, which meant that I ran out of time to go over the content one last time. And in that moment, I had two options. The first option was that I could call my wife and say, hey, sorry, I'm not going to make it home for dinner tonight. I didn't have time to go over the stuff for the meeting tonight, so I'm going to need to stay and do that, and then I'll come home after the meeting. Or option two was to say, Holy Spirit, you know what kind of day I've had. You know that the reason I didn't go over this wasn't because I was being lazy or a lack of diligence, and so I'm going to go home to my family, and I'm just going to trust that you're going to carry me through this night. And in that, I had a choice, right? I could choose. And I don't think God would have stopped me if I had picked option one. But I decided to go with option two. And I believe the night went well. I mean, you'd have to ask the Connect Group leaders and see what they think. But I feel like it went well, right? And I feel like it probably went much better than it would have if I'd stayed to go over it myself, because I was really having to just lean into the Spirit, right, rather than in my own knowledge and my own memory of what we were doing. And so I could have stayed and in my own strength prepare myself as much as I could, or I could surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him carry me through that night. And you could stay right where you are. and say, nah, what I did is unforgivable, so, you know, I just need to figure that out. I need to figure out how to make that right, and then I'll reconnect with God. Or I'll just chill out on my behavior at work, and hopefully people will forget after a while, and I can just slowly bring up Jesus more and more, and I won't feel so hypocritical. Or you could say, you know, I just need to figure out how to walk back my denial of Jesus in a careful and calculated way, and so I'll do that first so I don't look foolish, and then I'll give my life to Jesus. Or you could say, I just need to get some courage. I just need to be brave. I just need to share my faith. And I don't think God would stop you from doing any of those things. But you could just surrender to Him and make your life so much easier. Don't try to do this in your own strength. Surrender to God. Let Him continually transform you. And you will be transformed. It's what He does. It's who He is. You know, what makes Peter's story so special isn't anything that he did, but what God did in him. And that didn't make him perfect. We still see further bumps in the road all the way through his story. But for Peter and for all of us, the life of following Jesus is a life of continual surrender. When you follow Jesus and the Holy Spirit is within you, sometimes you'll still feel afraid, but you can surrender that. Sometimes you'll still feel proud, but you can surrender that. Sometimes you'll still feel guilty, but you can surrender that. Sometimes you won't feel like enough or that you're doing enough, but you can surrender that. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us this, that so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. We haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. If we believe Jesus died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins, then we are saved from our sins. And we can have confidence in that. But in terms of who we are and how we live, He is making us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. And the story of Peter is a beautiful example of what that looks like. So what do you need to surrender today? What do you need to surrender? What's the thing that you've been holding on to, trying to fix in your own strength? Maybe it's fear. Fear of what people will think. Fear of stepping out. Fear of failing. Maybe it's guilt, something from your past that keeps whispering that you're too far gone. Maybe it's pride. You don't want to admit that you need God's help. Maybe it's control. You've been trying to map out how to follow Jesus without looking foolish. But the invitation this morning isn't to try harder. It's to surrender more. Just like Peter, transformation doesn't come because you finally got it all together. It comes because you hand over your weakness. You hand over your fear, your past, and your pride to the one who can actually change you, who can actually make a difference. And this morning is an opportunity to do that, to surrender to Him. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus before. Maybe you've resisted, maybe you've denied, maybe you've put it off. Maybe it's your first time hearing about Jesus this morning, or you've just started getting familiar with Him and His story. And if that's you, I want you to know that Jesus, the Son of God, died for you. He gave His perfect life so that you wouldn't have to be stuck in your past, so you wouldn't have to be stuck in your guilt, that you wouldn't have to do things in your own strength. And then just like Peter discovered, He rose again from the dead. And because of that, you don't have to stay the same. You can be forgiven. You can be made new. You can be transformed and then continue to be transformed. And so today, if today is the day that you want to say yes to Jesus, then I want to give you that opportunity to do that this morning. Or maybe you already follow Jesus, but you know there are things that you need to surrender to Him today. So what I want to do is I want to pray. I want to pray. And if you relate to either of those things, if you want to give your life to Him, you can just pray in your heart with me as I pray this out loud, and then we'll wrap up after that. This is what I just want to pray for us this morning. And feel free to pray along. Jesus, I come to You today, and I surrender. I surrender my past, my mistakes, my fears, and my doubts. I believe You died for me, and that You rose again to give me new life. And so today, I put my trust in You. Come into my life. Fill me with Your Spirit, and begin Your transformation in me. Help me to follow You, not on my own strength, but by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, if you just pray that for the first time this morning, we want to celebrate with you. We want to celebrate. There's an incredible decision. I would say the best decision you could ever make. And so before you leave this morning, we'd love for you to come and chat to us. I'll be down here at the front, so will some of the other leaders. We'd love to pray with you, encourage you, give you some resources that could be helpful for you on your journey of following Jesus. So come and do that. Come chat to us. And if we happen to be talking to people already, go chat to the people at the info desk or anybody with a yellow lanyard on. They would love to celebrate that decision that you've made with you this morning as you begin that journey of following Jesus. And if you're already following Jesus, but today you've realized there are things that you need to surrender, don't leave today without doing it. Surrender those things to God. You see, Peter's life wasn't transformed in a single moment. It was a journey of surrender over and over again. And the same is true for you. And so whatever it is, bring it to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do what only the Holy Spirit can do. And as you surrender, you will be transformed. You will be. I totally, confidently believe that. And so we're going to spend some time in worship now, and now is an opportunity to surrender. And you might just want to do that right where you are, or you might think, man, I can't do this on my own. I just need someone to pray with me. We'll be down here at the front. We would love to pray with you as you make that act of surrender. And if there's anything that we can do as a church community to support you on that journey, man, we want to. Whether that's connecting you with a mentor or connecting you into a connect group, we want to support you and get people around you to help you as you surrender and continually surrender your life to Him. But would you stand with me as we prepare to worship? Thank You, Jesus, that You are the ultimate example of surrender. Thank You that You gave Your life for us on the cross. And I just pray as we try to live like You and follow You, that You would help us to surrender in the same way, to give everything to You, all of our lives, Lord. The big things, the little things, all of it, to give it to You. And thank You, Lord, that we aren't stuck where we are. Thank You that Your Holy Spirit continues to transform us and make us more and more like You. And so we just surrender to You this morning, Holy Spirit. Make us more like You, we pray. We know that Your way is the good way. We know that Your way is the best way. We know that You know us better than anybody else. And You know the best way for us to live. And so we just want to surrender to You this morning. But sometimes it's hard to do, Lord. Sometimes if we've been hanging on to something for a long time, that's hard to do. And so I just pray that You would help us do what we feel like we can't. That You would help us do what we can't do in our own strength. And thank You, Lord, for honest examples like Peter in the Bible, where it's not like it was all bad and then it was all good and it was always that way. Thank You for the examples of the times where he still messed up again. And just that reassurance that we're just people and he's just a person, but we have Your Spirit and You want to help us and You want to guide us. So I just pray now, Lord, as we sing Your praises, as we just worship Your name again, that You would just help us to surrender to You in this moment. And I pray these things in Your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.